We're talking about overcoming the hurdles of life. In a little series here about the hurdles of life, we talked about anxiety last week and guilt. Today, victory over our fear. This is a fearful time in history. We're surrounded by many uncertainties that cause us loss or pain. They can overwhelm us with worry at times until we actually are taken away from the things of God because we're worrying so much about life. In fact, our society is very anxious. All you have to do is watch the news or to see terrifying events happening all around the world. You can just look at the news and hear it all over. I went on my computer last night, and I have a little report called the Drudge Report. And I just wanted to see what was happening yesterday in the world. And it said, Chicagoland, boys 14 and 15 killed in separate shootings. Chaos erupts while folks stand in line at a housing development. Wait, my taxes went up today? I thought we had heard that the middle class was not going to have a tax increase. Did I miss something? I don't know if you got a paycheck yet this year. If you have, did you see your taxes? Did you bring home less money this last week? Anybody? Nod your head, do something. Yeah. Wait, hold it. The news article said, my taxes went up today? A U.S. Airways, 16,500 vie for 450 jobs. Obama, tax hike on braces for kids. Quote, somebody said, I can barely contain my fury at what is going on anymore. Our whole society is getting to be this place, this situation. Fears, fear of death. Fear of losing a valued relationship. Fear of running out of money. Fear of getting sick. Fear of violence. Fear of embarrassment. And I went to my library and I have recently read a bunch of books. And I just brought them to you so you could see them by title. Tested by Fire. Crushed. Here's one Brother Petrie asked me to read. Aftershock. Protect yourself and profit in the next global financial meltdown. Fear. What's happening? What in the world is going on? The coming economic Armageddon. Book after book after book. Fear. Troublesome times. Heartaches. What's happening next? What's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, there is fear everywhere. My son gave me this book. The Road to Unafraid. It's an Army chaplain who's a ranger. Just like my son, who's a ranger, an Army chaplain. Jeff Strucker. If you want a book to read, this is a good one. Jeff Strucker, eventual winner of the Army's Best Ranger competition, was one of the elite U.S. soldiers sent into Mogadishu, Somalia in 1993 as part of a UN peacekeeping operation. In this riveting book, Strucker recounts the stories of his life as a top ranger from the front lines of every U.S. initiative since Panama, moments where God met him, delivered peace in the midst of certain death. He also recounts his journey of becoming a full-time chaplain so he could teach his fellow Rangers how to have the peace that passes all understanding. In this book, you might want to get it sometime and read it. It's an amazing book. He said, some will laugh and some will think I should not be a ranger, but there have been many times in my life that I have been afraid. Even rangers will be afraid. Fear is everywhere these days. We live in troublesome times. How we handle our fears makes a huge difference in life. We can let them paralyze us, or we can find courage to rise above them and hurdle fear. Overcoming the hurdles of life. Fear is one of those things, ladies and gentlemen, everybody here needs to somehow hurdle this morning, hurdle over fear. And that's my hope today. As I'm preaching, I can get to you this message and have you hurdle these fears. Because the Bible teaches us, in spite of all that's going on, in spite of all the economic meltdown and all the threats and all the fears, the Bible teaches us that God's people are called to live fearlessly. Go to Psalm 103, verse 19, please, if you will. How can we remain, preacher, calm and confident in the midst of such a frightening generation? The only way is to remember that the Lord has promised to strengthen, to help, and uphold us. And He always, always, always keeps His word. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens. Ladies and gentlemen, it's still the truth. His kingdom ruleth over all. It doesn't matter what it might appear. It doesn't matter what it might seem. Can I encourage your heart this morning and build your hope? No matter what you're facing, no matter what the fear is, God, my God, is still ruling over all. His kingdom is in the heavens. His throne is in the heavens, but He ruleth over everything. I'll tell you one more time, even though it seems like everything is out of control and we cannot understand everything, God is still in control and has everything in control. He knows exactly what He's doing. What is fear? Number two. I said, first of all, this is a fearful time in history. Secondly, what is fear? Fear is an uneasy feeling of dread, like an alarm. Warning that something bad is going to happen. It can be caused by a threat or feeling a loss of control in certain situations. And the Bible speaks about the fear of the Lord. In fact, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. And then we'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord. Do you see it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, when the Bible speaks about the fear of the Lord, it isn't a negative feeling. Instead, it is a good fear. One created by a healthy reverence for a holy, righteous God. As believers, ladies and gentlemen, we have no need to be afraid of our Heavenly Father. We don't have any need at all to be afraid of our Heavenly Father. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 now and verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But this fear is not a negative feeling. Instead, it's a good fear. One created by a healthy reverence for a holy, righteous God. As believers, you and I have no need, ladies and gentlemen, to be afraid. Remember that fear itself is not bad. But when it's continually with us, then it becomes a problem. Roman numeral 3. Many emotions are linked with fear. Now, I've got a number of these emotions, but I don't have them on the screen. If you want to jot them down, you can. Many emotions are linked with fear. Many of the negative emotions we experience in life are rooted in fear. For example, greed. Greed. You know what greed is? Greed is really fear of not having enough. I got to have more. Got to have more. So it's fear of not having enough. Rejection, which, by the way, I'm preaching about tonight. Rejection. Hurdle rejection. But rejection is concern about not being accepted. Guilt. Like I preached last week, is an apprehension that our wrongs might be discovered. Discouragement is another. It's a fear of failure caused by a lack of confidence. Anger, I'm going to preach about that a little later, is caused by a fear that we may not get our way. Jealousy is the fear of losing control of what we desire. And then indecision is caused when we worry about making a wrong choice. And so there's many emotions: greed, rejection, guilt, discouragement, anger, jealousy, indecision. These are all emotions that come along with the little word fear. That's what fear is. But why are we afraid? Roman numeral 4. Why do we have so much fear? Why are we afraid? Go with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Why are we afraid? For God. Now listen to this verse. For God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Oh, I'm so afraid, preacher. I'm going to lose my home. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm so fearful. And on and on and on we go about things we are so afraid of. But the Bible says to me, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Stir these things up. Stir up the gift of God. You see, we know for sure, I know for certain, that if I have fear, it's not from God. If you have fear, it's not from God. So we know this, He is never, our God is never the source of fear. So where do they come from? Well, I've got to tell you where one of mine came from. I believe it's happening still today, childhood lessons. I believe some of our fears are from childhood lessons. You see, I believe in their attempts to protect and train us as our parents. Many of them ingrain fears in us that still affect us today. For example, my mother didn't mean anything by it, I'm positively sure. But if there was a room she did not want us to go in because maybe there were Christmas gifts in there or other things, ooh, son, don't go in that room. Why, Mom? Because there's a boogeyman in that room. What? There's a boogeyman in that room. And if you ever do that, you terrible people, you. And so I would never go in that room because it had a boogeyman in it. And then especially if it was dark, well, if it was dark, Mama would say, now don't go down in the basement. It's dark down there, and there might be a boogeyman somewhere. And so we'd get to the edge of the stairs, and we would look down and see if we could see the boogeyman. Never did see him. But you know what it did to me? It made me afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the dark until somewhere in my 30s. Now, don't you laugh one little bit. The other day, we had gotten broken into. You know, there were some thieves that came in and busted up six doors and busted up our place. Cost us almost $3,000 to get the thing fixed. And so I'm here by myself. I am now 65 years old. I'm here by myself. I'm here at night. I'm here at 11 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to lock my door, and I feel like a boogeyman is watching me. Where did that come from? Mama! Now, I can right now tell you, some of you relating to some things your mama did or whatever, or your daddy, or your grandmother. I don't like Halloween at all. And my grandmother did a bad thing and scared me to death one day. Another childhood lesson. She was trying to be funny. And so she dressed up like a witch and came to our house in the country. And we didn't hear her come, and she planned it that way. And all of a sudden, somebody was in the house. And my sister said, "Whoo!" And my mama is good. She knew it was happening. She said, "Whoo! What do you suppose it is?" And me being the man of the house, "Daddy gone, I'll take care of it, Mom." And all of a sudden, here come my grandma with this outfit on. "Whoo!" Like that. And I said, "Ah!" Also, she took off her cape. "Don't hit me, I'm your grandma!" You know exactly. Sometimes it's childhood lessons that scare us to death. I thought secondly about imagination. Sometimes the nervous system cannot distinguish between real and unimagined danger. So we create shadow fears that trouble us. When I was a kid, because my mom would scare us all the time, we'd be sitting watching a TV program together as a family. And invariably, I don't know why that woman would do that. She's a Christian. She loves the Lord. We'd sit there, and right in the heat of the head, she'd take her fist or take her hand like this, open hand on the big table we had, and go, "Mom!" Ah! Scare everybody in the whole house. She had all these fears and panics, and sometimes they're still with me. I mean, I couldn't believe myself. 65, and I was scared to walk out of my church building. It all comes from what you learned. Now, there's some things that happened as well. But then there are imagined things. As a kid, because Mama scared me so often about so many things, I imagined things in the corners of the house as I slept at night. You ever do that? I sit there and put the blanket over my head. 17 years old. Gotta be kidding me. I'm a man. Imagine fears. What about sin? Fear is a consequence of disobeying the Lord. It's good because it reminds us that we will give an account of our lives to Him one day. Ignorance, some of our fears are based on misinformation instead of truth. Doubt, the Lord is our source of security, folks. The Lord is our source of security, folks. I said the Lord is the source of our security. Nothing else is. Sometimes we have doubts. When we doubt His love, when we doubt His forgiveness, I'm telling you right now, a fear will replace trust and peace. Poor self-image. Some young people growing up have a poor self-image. All people need to feel. Everybody needs to feel accepted and valued by others. There's so many kids. Kids with kids can be ruthless. Come on, amen. They can be ruthless. Make some kids feel like they're not important at all. They're not wanted at all. Look at you. Look how fat you are, how ugly you are, how many pimples you have. There was a girl, when I was growing up in high school, had pimples, I mean, all over her face. And kids were ruthless with that girl. Until, honestly, you could never hardly talk to that girl. She's always back in a corner somewhere. She felt so self-conscious, had a poor self-image. When this sense of belonging is missing, the fear of rejection takes place. Sometimes in Christian work, unattainable standards. Sometimes we aim too high. We become anxious when it looks like we won't reach our goals. Sometimes we have discouraged church people from being good church people because we seem to set the standard so high. And if you don't get up to here, that you're not a part. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody needs to grow. I've said it so often, and I'll say it one more time. We're in a day and a generation. You look at those basketball players who play professional basketball, who play college basketball. They have tattoos all up and down their arms. You see them out and about. They have earrings and markings everywhere. And those kind of people are going to come to church. You can't make them feel rejected. Because Jesus Christ accepts them just like He accepted you. You say, "But preacher." But preacher, nothing. They need Jesus just like you need Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus Christ just like you need Him. So oftentimes we set our standards so high. You got to wear this. You got to look like that. You got to be like this. Listen, did Jesus die for only those folks who look good? He died for everybody. That's what they were singing about. He died for everybody. We need to get off our high horse and try to reach everybody we can reach and try to get as many people saved that we can. And when folks come in, they may not look exactly the way we think they should look. We still need to love them and get them somehow to Jesus Christ. Wrong view of God sometimes. If we primarily view the Lord as our judge, and so many Christians do, they view God as a judge sitting up there ready to clump them all the time and hit them with some kind of a club. That's not so. But you'll be afraid of God if that's what you think. I know little kids growing up, that's all they think about God, is mommy and daddy's always told them, now God doesn't like this, and God doesn't like that, and God's like this, and God's like that. And boy, if you don't cross God, and they're trying to teach them how to fear God properly, but they're not. They're teaching them wrong. Those little kids grow up, and they're afraid of God. They won't understand. You see, if you're taught that way, you won't understand the vastness of God. I thank God. Now, my mother scared us a lot, did all that crazy stuff. But I had a mom and dad who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they loved the Lord, and they loved us, and you could feel that love. Thank God for that. Roman numeral number 5, what are the consequences of fear? We're trying to find out how to overcome the hurdle of fear. What are the consequences? Passing moments of fear are natural. Don't think that's not natural. Passing moments of fear are natural to everybody. We all fear something from time to time. But when you allow it to rule you, there are consequences that happen. Number one, it divides your mind. You can't concentrate if apprehensions are constantly distracting us. If I'm constantly being distracted by apprehensions, I cannot concentrate on the Lord Jesus. Don't let it divide your mind. It stifles your ability to think and act rightly. Anxieties or fear cloud my mind and keep us from having the life I should have and from behaving the way I should behave and the way I act. It causes indecisions. Fear paralyzes us. When you need to make choices, you can't make choices. I'm so afraid. There are some people that I have dealt with over the years, they can't make a choice about anything. They're always afraid. I'm going to make the wrong decision. I'm afraid God won't be pleased. And on and on and on. And they look at God, again, like this big judge, ready to just really come down on them if they make the wrong decision. That's not the way to look about God. It undermines your self-confidence. These guys and gals that get up here today and sing, and they have confidence to sing, and they sing, and even if they make a mistake, that's okay. Right, bass singer? I like that bass voice. Forgot his line or something. I don't know what he did. But anyway, it's okay. We still love him. You know, we worry about all that stuff way too much. Let's just give it to God. Sometimes it results in panic. If you lose the ability to manage your fears, what happens? Your fears control you. Don't let your fears control you. You control your fears. You tell fear where to jump off. I've had enough of you. I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to be afraid of every little thing in my life. I'm not going to be afraid of failing. I'm not. I'm not going to be afraid to pass that test. I'm going to pass that test in college. I'm not going to. Oh, I'm so fearful. I don't know. I don't know. I can't study. Now, the only reason why you're fearful is because you didn't study. Now, when you don't study, you probably ought to be afraid. High school kids, same way. Mom and dad, same way. We prepare. We plan. You don't have to be fearful. The old devil will make us fearful. Enslaves us with feelings of uncertainty. Whenever long-term situations like health or financial worries have uncertain outcomes, mom and dad, you can be consumed with worry about the future. Destroys relationships. Those who have experienced difficulties in past relationships may find the fear of repeating those mistakes, and it keeps them from forming new ones. I've talked to tons of people who had a bad relationship with a partner. They were about to marry or whatever. And they didn't. And all of a sudden, now they don't trust anybody. I've had church people who've had bad experiences with churches. And now they don't want to join a church. Pastor, you don't understand. We've had some bad experiences with some preachers and some Christians and some church situations. And we have a little fear, and so we don't want to jump in, and we just don't want to do that right now. We're a little scared. You know why? Because fear destroys relationships, and it destroys and steals your peace and steals your joy. Think of your life as a machine, and joy and peace as the oil that keeps it running smoothly. Fear is like sand that grinds away at the gears and erodes your happiness. Oh, grace and peace are the oil. Wow, grace and peace. Don't be mad at anybody. Don't get frustrated. Love God. Let grace and peace give you the oil of gladness. Don't let the sand of worry and frustration and fear get in there. If we're not careful, every single one of us can do that. But we need to hurdle over this thing called fear. It blocks my spiritual growth. You'll never be able to become the person God wants you to become, and you'll never be able to do what God wants you to do if you have fear. God wants you to become something. Everybody in this room, God wants you to become something. Isn't it good to see these young people up here singing? Sometimes we think Christianity is all for old people. It's not so. Do you realize that these guys were singing about stuff they have never experienced yet? And you know what they said to us? We have faith in God that God will perform the doing of His Word. You know what every one of us should be here saying who are older? Yes, sir. Young people, go to it because God will do what He said. Keep singing it. I have experienced that God will do what He says. Let's don't have a bunch of old fuddy-duddies sitting around in church saying, no, I don't know if you can trust Him or not. You can trust Him. Guys, you can trust Him. Girls, you can trust Him. He's a wonderful Savior, a mighty God, a great Redeemer. He'll remove your fear. How do you think this church ever did what we have done? Somebody had to step out and not be afraid. When people are saying, you can't do it. Listen, when I started the radio station some years ago, 25, 26 years ago, people said to me, that is the dumbest deal in the world. To take your church and plunge them in debt and buy equipment to have a radio set. You're going to fall flat on your face. I said, I don't think so. Because it's not me that wants it, it's God. And I'm going to be His tool to see that it gets done. So we're going to step out and do it. And so we did it. And now this morning I just reported to you that this radio station has been heard in 163 nations. Glory! Somebody say amen. Amen. All 50 states has heard from this pulpit. Isn't that amazing? Because somebody stepped out. Do you have to conquer your fear? You best know it. I'm getting ready to give you that in just a second. It affects your health. Fear will affect your health. Prolonged fearful anxiety is linked to a variety of physical disorders according to what I've discovered. I understand, according to the doctors, that cardiovascular disease is attached to fear. Hypertension is attached to fear. Digestive problems attached to fear. Chronic headaches attached to fear. It impacts our eating. It impacts our exercise habits. What, preacher? Fear. Do you realize a church could be so much greater if it could somehow get everybody to quit being so fearful? Last point that I'm finished. Roman numeral number 6. How should I deal with fear? Here's what we have to, and I'm going to give you points and they're going to have them on the screen. I want you to write them down. How should I deal with fear? What I always think we should do is simply acknowledge it. Number one, acknowledge it. You've got to somehow acknowledge I have fear. Before you can begin to deal with your fear, you must admit it's a problem. I have a problem. Number two, identify its source. Ask yourself, if you're afraid of a situation with an uncertain outcome or the consequences of past choices, once you know the true source, you can begin to address it. I've told you this before in other sermons. I will tell you one more time. It makes me look a little silly, but that's the way it is. I, for years, would not drive down Main Street in Clyde, Ohio, because there were two funeral homes on Main Street. And I didn't want to see them. Now, isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard of? I did not want to drive past those Foos Funeral Home and Mitchell Oxer because it meant death. I was in my early 30s, and I'd go down Church Street every time I came to church. Nobody ever asked me, so I never told them why. But I always went down Church Street. Why would you go down Church Street, preacher? The truth was, I didn't want to go past the funeral homes. Why? Because they scared me. I'm just being honest. Not until I was here 15 years could I go down Main Street. Now, isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? But because I was told wrongly about death and fear, I wouldn't even look when I did go past them. That's the dumbest thing in the world. But to me, it was legit fear. I wonder what fear you have this morning that's legit, that you're struggling with. And you would say, preacher, I didn't know people went like through stuff like that, but you did. We all do. You all have fears. But God wants to deliver you. Acknowledge it. Identify its source. Change your focus. Number three. When your attention is fixed on your fears, what happens? Your fears get bigger. The more you fear, the bigger it is. Listen, how many of you have ever thought about yourself that you just might have cancer? Come on, raise your hand. Be honest with me. Sure. And the more you dwell on it, the more you dwell on it, the bigger it gets. How many of you have imagined that it's all imagined, that you had heart problems because you're like, my feet swell once in a while, pains in my chest? How many of you ever felt like, yeah, you have a heart problem? Something goes on. Mm-hmm. The more you think about it, the bigger it gets. I don't know if I can mention every situation, but I'm telling you, you're understanding what I'm saying, I believe, all my heart. Change your focus. The only way to reverse the negative process is to shift your focus to the most powerful weapon you have. Shift your focus to the most powerful weapon you have. What in the world, preacher, is the most powerful weapon you have? The Bible! Switch your mind, switch your thinking, switch your imagination to the most powerful weapon you have. Grab it and read its pages. Get the Word of God down in your soul. And tell the devil, I submit myself to God. I'm resisting you today. I expect you to flee. And that's exactly what the verse says in the book of James. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Help me out. How should you deal with your fear? Come on, say them to me. Number one, acknowledge it. Number two, identify its source. Number three, change your focus. Number four, rely on Isaiah 41:10. Now let's go back to Isaiah 41:10. Here's what you need to do. Go back to Isaiah 41:10, please. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Whew, I've used that verse tons. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There it is. Get that book. When you're facing a trial, it's a faith battle. This verse can be your anchor in fearful times if you'll believe it and count it as true in your situation. The sovereign ruler of the universe has given you his personal promise. That's how I think about that. The sovereign ruler of the universe. Not just any Joe Blow, but the sovereign ruler of the universe said, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Woo! That's all you need. Letter E, number 5, lay down your fear. Lay down your fear. Based on the certainty that the Lord is faithful, loving, and omnipotent, you have no reason to hold on to your fears. He will keep his promise to bring you through every single fearful time. And I'm telling you, we are going to face some very difficult, fearful times. What are you going to do with your fears? You can either keep them and suffer the negative consequences, or you can trust the Lord and place them in his loving hands this morning. Even if you can't change your situation, you don't have to fear. Although God doesn't say in Isaiah 41:10 that he will remove your fear. And he did not say he's going to remove your fearful circumstances. But he said he would help you. He would strengthen you. And he would uphold you. That's what he said. Whenever you dwell on uncertainties, remember who upholds you. Who is it? Come on, come on. Who is it that's holding you? Who is it? Somebody speak to me. Who is it? We're not like the world. The world doesn't have God upholding them. But God said in Isaiah 41, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Who is it? Who is it that's upholding you? Quit looking at your circumstances. They won't change. But God can change your perspective of those circumstances and uphold you. I'm talking to some folks this morning that need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to help them with their fear. It's Almighty God's hands underneath you. For underneath are the everlasting arms of our God. You can face anything in life. Go with me to one more verse. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. The torment of fear, ladies and gentlemen, is neutralized by the great love of God. Whatever you're fearful of this morning, the torment of fear is neutralized by the love of God. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4 says it best, what time I am afraid, the psalmist is actually saying there will be a time you will be afraid. That's what he's saying. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Look at verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. God is our ultimate strength, our ultimate rock, and our ultimate shelter. Let's jump over the hurdle of fear.